Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we'll be reading three verses there of Luke chapter 4. Again, getting familiar with your Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, we'll be in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then the book of Luke. Chapter 4, verse 33 is where we're going to start. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. I'll read verse 33 if you'll join with me on verse number 34, and then I'll read verse number 35 and we'll pray. So Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse number 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou art Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And let's pray this morning. Again, Father, we have an opportunity before us, Lord, where we need to hear from you, Lord, through the man of God. And God, we ask that your Spirit would be upon this place. I pray that we'd have listening ears and our hearts would be open to exactly what you have for us. God, we take what's been told to us, and then we'd use it and apply it in our lives. And we'll be thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Once we all stood as captive slaves, the bonds of sin and death our chains, but he with blood our freedom bought. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
The weight of sin, the sting of death, were swallowed up by righteousness, vanquished by the Son of God. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
Now we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished on the cross.
And while our hearts have turned from sin, the flesh is waging war within. Though sin remains, our guilt is gone. It was finished on the cross. It was finished on the cross.
His gift of grace my heart betrays, with urge to merit or repay. We need not live
to pay the cost.
It was finished
on the cross.
It was finished on the cross.
Now we rejoice in victory. We lift our eyes to Calvary. Before the battle has begun, by Jesus' blood it has been won. It was finished. It was finished. Yes, it was finished on the cross. The cross.
Oh, that'll work, man. Oh, amen. That's good. God bless you. That's, man. Whew. If I did what I wanted to do right now, I'd run around this room and just shout it out. Boy, oh boy. That was a blessing. That was super. I don't know what happened with the sound. It wasn't all right, Brother Greg, with some of them. But listen, I would like that. We're having the Lord's Supper tonight. Can we sing that? Can y'all sing that tonight? Who's up tonight? Who's up tonight? Anybody know who's up tonight? Sharla? You and Faith, do y'all mind if y'all get bumped? Well, you're singing anyway, so just of faith, who cares, right? Amen? So you're a part of it anyway. So that was a tremendous song. Thank God. Amen. And so we're at the Lord's Supper tonight, and it's all about Christ's death. So that would be a great song to hear. And I think about all the people that are serving over in the other building and are out of this service. And I just think they would enjoy that. So we'll enjoy that tonight before we have the Lord's Supper. I want to draw your attention to this passage this morning and ask God to bless it as we look at it. And I want to preach to you on the influence of an unclean spirit. The influence of an unclean spirit. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, I'm so thankful this morning that the cross of Jesus was lifted up before the message. And so thankful, Lord, for the songs about salvation and the fact that Jesus is our rock and we're anchored in Him. It's just been good. It's been good to be here. So now we come to preaching, and I just ask you, Spirit of God, to bless us. I plead the blood of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, which is above all names. And every knee, including the knees of the spirits, will bow someday to that wonderful Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help me, I pray. Give us your mind, your heart, and to know the exact words to say in the message today. And may the Spirit of God help people. That's my prayer in Christ's name. And amen. For the most part, people find comfort in the routine. There is something about routine that creates a sense of security. For instance, when people go to an independent Baptist church on a Sunday, even like some of our guests this morning who go to an independent Baptist church in other places, they're here visiting, and they come to our service, they pretty well know what to expect. They know what to expect at an independent Baptist service. They know there's going to be songs, and there's going to be prayer, and there's going to be some announcements, and there's going to be an offering. There's always an offering, amen. And there's going to be some preaching, and there's going to be an invitation. That's kind of the, that's pretty much the standard set structure. It may not all happen in that sequence, but that's pretty much the set structure of an independent Baptist service. And once in a while, different things happen, and like happened here some months ago where God just directed us, and we sang and sang and sang, had a message ready to preach. But we sang and sang. It was after those police officers were killed, and we had Brother Jerry come up here and have special prayer for him. Remember that? But that's not the rule. That's the exception, okay? That's the exception, not the rule. And so most times it's pretty much comfort, and people, it's pretty much routine, and people find comfort in the routine. And I think that's wonderful. Then I start thinking about the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And I think about what it must have been like following Him around. It had to be extremely interesting. For one reason, the status quo, the routine, was unpredictable. I mean, when you consider, you think of His miracles and His healings, not every day that somebody stops a funeral procession and raises the dead to life. That's not the norm. Okay? So we're talking about things that are out of the, you have to wonder if the disciples woke up, of a morning and maybe they looked at each other and said, wonder what's going to happen today. Really? You think about it. I mean, it was not just random. It was all according to God's plan. But it was anything but status quo. It was anything but a comfort zone. And here is one such incident in this passage. In verse number 31, we didn't read this, but I hope you have your Bible. If not, listen all you want. It's not hard to follow. Verse 31 says, and came down, talking about Jesus, He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and He taught them on the Sabbath day. So Jesus was in Capernaum, and on the Sabbath days, He went to the synagogue, okay, verse 33, by the way, which was His custom. Another scripture says that was His custom. And in our day and age, we have a New Testament church, and Christians' custom ought to be to go to church. Okay, so that's what Jesus did, His custom. He went to the synagogue and He taught. Now, what happens in this story from this point on is anything but routine. And there are some lessons for us to learn about what happened here in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, look first of all, the Word has power. The Word has power. Look at verse 32. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His Word was with power. Now, folks, they're used to going to the synagogue every week, maybe every day. And they're used to hearing, you know, the same, the reading from the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures over and over again. But on this particular day, when Jesus stood up to teach, His teaching, His Word, was with power. I don't have to stress this to people who've been saved for a while. This is not news to you. To people who have grown up being taught that the Bible is the Word of God. You know that the Word of God has power. It has power. Hebrews 4:12, don't turn there, says that the Word of God is power, the kind of power the Word of God has. It says the Word of God is quick, which means alive, and sharper. Now listen to this. Than any two-edged sword. And here is the power of the sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Notice that word, piercing. And of the joints and marrow. And here is the clincher, in my opinion. And is a discerner. Now listen to this. Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God reveals people's heart. Your thoughts, your motives, your intents, your desires. You know, you think about it, think with me, this is much like the ministry of Jesus Himself. You remember several times in the Gospels, Jesus was within a crowd of folks and the Bible said He knew their thoughts. I think at one such place when they let that paralytic man down, this man sick of the palsy, let him down through the roof. They broke up the roof and they let him down. Remember when they let him down? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus did not say at the beginning, take up thy bed and walk. At the beginning, He said what? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And all the scribes sitting around in the room with Jesus, the Bible says, they began, now listen to this, the Bible says they began reasoning in their hearts. They're not speaking publicly, they're thinking. Who does He think He is? Who can forgive sins but God only? He ain't God. Now, they're not saying that. They're speaking. They're thinking it. And Jesus perceives their thoughts, and He looks right at them. He says, why are you thinking right now that I'm not God and I can't forgive sins? Would that be a little spooky for you? It would be a little spooky for me. But that's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus. And that's what is true about the Word of God. God's Word cuts to the inner core of a person. It pierces. It's a sword. It pierces. It cuts through the physical. And it goes all the way right into where a person thinks, where a person feels, a person's motives, a person's intentions. And people, that's what makes folks uncomfortable when the Bible is preached. The Bible is a cutting, piercing, dividing, discerning sword. The Bible puts its finger on the pulse of a person. And that's why people sometimes even get mad and they react angrily to Bible preaching. It's not the preacher that they're mad at. It's the fact that the Bible laid bare their thoughts, their motives, their intentions, their feelings. The Bible points them out and says, hey, that's wicked and that's ungodly and that's evil, and people don't like that because the Bible deals with man's sin. When I say man, I'm talking about mankind. I'm talking about men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, everybody. By the way, not just the sin that is visible. The sin that is invisible, wait a minute, but known to us. Known to us. Bible preaching should make us uncomfortable. It should. Now, people don't like that. But that's what Bible preaching is supposed to do. Now, listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul is teaching Timothy there, his preacher boy. And this is what he says. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Then he says this to a preacher. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, notice what he said. He said, preach the Word of God. Preach the Bible. And then he says, preach it consistently. You know, you can't check the wind. and say, uh-oh, you know, brother, you know, Mr. So-and-so from in town is here today. I got to change my message. No, you can't do that. You preach it. You preach it consistently, and here's what will happen. Reproof. Now, that's reproof. You know what reproof is? That's correction. Correction says, the Bible says, this is wrong. That's correction. But then he went a step further and he said, rebuke. You know what rebuke is? Confrontation. Rebuke is not, this is wrong. Rebuke is, you're wrong. Whoa here. I don't mind being told that generic, in a generic way, something's wrong, but don't drag me into this. But that's what rebuke is. Rebuke is confrontation. Rebuke is saying, hey, not only is this wrong, but if you're doing it, you're wrong. And that's what the Bible does. And then the Bible says exhort. That means comfort. Now, sometimes Bible messages do all three. Sometimes Bible messages reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But you know what, folks? The truth of the matter is, Bible preaching will make us uncomfortable as much as it makes us comfortable. If it's Bible preaching. Now, if you're interested in man's thinking and man's ideas, then get the Reader's Digest. But if you want to know what God says, then you get a Bible. And if you really want to learn it, you go to where they believe it's true, where they take it literally. It's not just a book written by men, it's the very words of God. And sit under a guy who gets up and preaches, thus saith the Lord, and understand that when the Bible goes out like that, it's going to tell me what's wrong. Furthermore, it's going to tell me where I'm wrong. And it's going to tell me how to get it all right. That's what the Bible does. The Word has power, right? The Word has power. Number two, and this is really what I want you to see this morning, because this is what's interesting to me. I want you to notice the wrong way to respond. The wrong way to respond. Look at verses 33 and 34. And look what the Bible says here. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Whoa, stop. You mean in, if you will, the church service? There was a man who had the spirit of an unclean devil? Yeah. In the synagogue. Not standing in the parking lot. Not down at the tavern. Not where they're selling drugs. He's in the synagogue. He's in church. Okay? The spirit of an unclean devil was in the synagogue. And this should not surprise us. In this case, the man was actually possessed with a devil. Now, folks, like it or lump it, I'm not going to delve into this deeply this morning. I've got something else I want to show you. But that does happen. Now, we use the word demon. The word demon is never found in the Scripture. The word devil is. Okay? It's a little nicer way of saying devil. Demon. The word devil is found in the Bible, and you'll find cases in the Bible where devils possessed people. You say, yeah, well, that was Bible days, Brother Terry. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that still is true today. People, unfortunately, get possessed by devil spirits. We had one in this auditorium one time that came right here, right to that spot right there. And looked up at me during the invitation time and said, I need to speak with you. Right there. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. Maybe y'all remember it. I looked up the person that brought him. I said, take him to the conference room. Yeah. Now, that's spooky stuff. I understand. But I'm going to tell you, folks, long before there was a Hollywood and a Universal Studio, there was a Bible, okay? You know, Hollywood has kind of trivialized this stuff. The devil is not some person running around in a red suit with a forked tail and some pitchforks. That's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a man who was in the synagogue and physically possessed by the spirit of an unclean devil. Not the devil himself, but one of the devil's angels. Now, what I want us to see today is I want you to see, now get the picture, okay? Jesus is up teaching. Jesus is up preaching. And I want you to see the response of the unclean spirit to the Word of God, okay? So Jesus is preaching His teaching. And now notice this response. Look at verse number 34. So here is this unclean spirit speaks from out of this man and says, first of all, let us alone. Don't mess with us. Don't bother me. People, that is what we are tempted to think sometimes when preaching is going on in this auditorium. Hey, Pastor, don't bother me. Don't mess with my life. Make me laugh. Make me feel good. Make me cry. Tell me a story. Have a little play. But don't start messing with how I live. Leave me alone. How many times have I heard this? People come to visit. I go knock on the door, see, and say, man, thanks for coming and visiting. You should take a little bag of chocolate chip cookies or some other kind of cookies. So glad you came to visit our church. And they'll say, did you like it? We like a church that just preaches the Bible. You know what they mean when they say that? I want to go in, sit down, hear something that just makes me feel good all over about God and Jesus and everything, and then I go home and I'm okay, but don't mess with how I live. I'm sorry, folks, but if I'm true to this book messes with how we live. It messes with how we live. And I'm not being irreverent. I don't mean to be. This book teaches us how to live. What's right, what's not right, what's wrong, so forth and so on. You don't want to get to the point where you have that response, leave me alone. Don't bother me. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if Bible preaching leaves you alone, you have some serious stuff going on. Now, that's not all he said. The next thing he said, verse number 34, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? What business of yours is it? What have we to do with thee? Mind your own business. You can't leave me alone. Don't you tell me how to live. Now, folks, this is real. This is not a faith. This is not Jack and the Beanstalk, okay? This is not Cubs win the World Series. This is real, okay? That was a low blow. I'm sorry. That's terrible. I should never have said that. Father, forgive me. I have sinned. Amen. This is real, okay? This is real stuff. This is how people respond sometimes to Bible preaching. Who does he think he is anyway? It's none of your business how I live. Leave me alone. What business is it of yours? Who are you to tell me what to do? Now, that's the power of God's Word. It cuts so deep to the core of a person. It reveals a person's inner thoughts, inner motives, inner desires, and then condemns them as sinful. And the response is, that's none of your business. Who do you think you are telling people how to live? Who do you think you are telling people what they can and cannot do? What are you? Who are you? Folks, it's not me. You got words right there on those papers. You can see it yourself. I'm just expounding on what God says. Leave me alone. What business is it? What am I to do with you? Who are you? Who do you think you are telling me what to do, what I can't do? And then it continues in verse number 34. I know, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? Why are you attacking me? You're out to get me. Now, here is something that happens in a church service. You know, a guest comes in for the first time. The preacher does not know them from Adam or Eve. They've never seen the person before. And the preacher preaches, and when he preaches, the Bible does what the Bible is supposed to do. The Bible pierces, and the Bible cuts, and the Bible, you know, discerns. And they take the attitude, why did you attack me? Why did you point me out? Why did you publicly talk about how I live? Well, the truth of the matter, friend, is how could the preacher point out something he doesn't know? And by the way, it's not just when guests visit a service. It's when saved people who come regularly. Saved people. I have had people get upset at me for preaching about their problem. You got in the pulpit and you preached about my problem. Well, thanks for telling me. I didn't even know it existed. Now, let's be honest. Let's be transparent. There are some times I come to the pulpit. I'm aware of something going on in the church, you know, whatever. And I come to the pulpit and I take the Word of God and I deal with it because I'm aware of it. That's fine. That's good. But that's not true all the time. I preached at the college. Just, what is it? I preached a message here one time on no instruction necessary, where Paul said that we're taught of God to love each other. Cameron, I preached that at College Chapel about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. And Brother Mike Hall, Mick's dad, stopped me in the hallway after chapel and he said, "Man, I appreciate the message. Who tipped you off?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, somebody got to you. Somebody told you what's going on." I said, "Mike, I don't know anything." He started talking about, you know, we got this happening and this happening and this happening. Folks, listen, before God, my witness, I knew none of that. Look, I'm just the messenger, okay? I'm just a conduit. This is God's Word. This is God's book. And you know, when the book is preached, it has power. It cuts, it divides, it pierces, it points out our sin. And the truth of the matter is, you know, when you're sitting in a service and you feel like the preacher is attacking you, he's not attacking you. Sometimes he doesn't even know what's going on in your life. But there's a God in heaven who's fully aware of everything. And He knows who's coming and going to be at a particular service. And you got a pastor with an open Bible and an empty page in a notebook saying, "Lord, what do you want me to preach this week?" And you know, a text or a Bible reading or something. And boy, I get this. And okay, preach this. And you start putting something together. And God's working all that together because He knows who's going to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And this is the message that I won't preach. Sometimes the preacher's oblivious. Why are you attacking me? And then he goes on. Finishes verse number 34. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." He said, I know the Bible. I know the truth. Now look, folks, here's my point. The point is the wrong way to respond. That's the point, number two. Now look at this. Look, this man was in the synagogue, possessed, his body physically possessed by an unclean spirit, by a devil. Now let me share something with you that will be a blessing to you. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in your body and no devil spirit can take up residence where He lives. So you don't have to worry about being possessed by a devil if you're saved. But saved people can still be influenced by unclean spirits. "I don't believe that." Okay. I hate to let the Bible ruin your day. "Boys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die, but I'm going to be buried and rise again." Peter speaks up and says, "Forbid it, Lord, that won't happen." Jesus says, "Get thee behind me." Oh, wow. Peter's Satan. Satan lives in Peter. But can Satan be? Can Satan influence Peter? Sure he can. So you're sitting in a church service Sunday morning, Faith Baptist Church Sunday night, Faith Baptist Church Wednesday night, Bible teaching, just by the Bible. I don't care if you preach it or teach it. It's powerful. It's powerful. And he's just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the message takes a little bit of a turn, and the sword of the Word of God cuts deep, and it divides, and it discerns, and the Word of God says, this is wrong, and you're guilty of it. And leave me alone! Why are you attacking me? Whose business is it anyway? I know what the truth is. Whose spirit are we of? Whose spirit are we of? The unclean, just unclean devil. Well, the Bible is just such an old book, so out of date. Really? Really? Who sold you that lie? The Bible is as relevant as it ever has been. It will be. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So what is written in this book is relevant today. Here we go, 2,000 years ago. This man is in the synagogue, possessed by an unclean spirit. Jesus is teaching and preaching, and he cries out, hey, leave me alone. It's not your business anyway. Why are you after me? I know the truth. So here's the thing. This unclean spirit went public. He cried out. He didn't just speak out. He cried out with a loud voice. Oh, but we are too refined to do that. So we just sit. Leave me alone. Who do you think you are? Why are you stinking attacking me? I know the truth. Oh, we'd never say it. But we think it. And who knows our thoughts? Now, folks, listen. That's the wrong way to respond. That's the wrong way to respond. If a man gets up and says, here's what I think, and there's no Bible to back it up, get mad. Cross your arms and say, who do you think you are? That's what I do every time I listen to one of the candidates. Who do you think you are? But when, I don't care if it's me, I'm not preaching for my benefit this morning, okay? I'm going to do this because God called me to do it. I've been doing it for, since it was 2 years out of the year I got saved, but regularly since 1980. I'm not here building a little protective cocoon for myself this morning. I'm trying to help all of God's people be careful that you don't come under the influence of an unclean spirit in church. Because if it's Bible, if it's the Word of God, the unclean spirit will be around to cause us to respond wrongly. Number three, and I'm done. This is the good part. Jesus has all power and authority to help us. Now, look at this verse. Look at verse number 35. So this man is in the synagogue. The devil's inside of him, this unclean spirit. The devil cries out with his loud voice. And so verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him. Thank God for that. Amen. Who's he rebuking? The unclean spirit. Hold thy peace and come out of him. And by the way, there's only one who has all authority to cast the devil out of somebody. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the devil had thrown him, that's not Jesus, the man, when the devil had thrown that man in the midst, threw him in the midst, He came out of him, and I love these last four words, and hurt him not. Did the devil have power to do that? Did that unclean spirit have power to hurt that man? Yes, he sure did. Remember when that man came to Jesus after Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration, said, Jesus, please help me. My little boy here is possessed with the devil, throws him in the water, tries to drown him, throws him in the fire, tries to burn him. Yes, sir, the devil has power to hurt people. All Jesus wants to do is help. That's all he wants to do, is help. And Jesus has all power and authority to help us. Jesus is not in the business of hurting people. Jesus is in the business of helping people. And Jesus helped this man by restraining the presence and the power of the unclean spirit. And Jesus has all power and all authority to deliver us from the influence of an unclean spirit, to help us. Beware the influence of the unclean spirit. Folks, if you're sitting in church and the Word of God is being preached and it starts cutting deeply, instead of responding wrongly and the unclean spirit is around to say, man, leave me alone. Instead of responding like that, stop and think, why am I uncomfortable? What is the Spirit of God trying to do in my heart this morning? Why am I uncomfortable with this? This is from the Bible. The messenger is just a mouthpiece. Now maybe the man has a bad disposition, and shame on me as a Bible preacher if I have a bad disposition. But you've got to, if it's coming from this book, then you've got to stop and think, okay, why am I uncomfortable? Recognize that the Holy Spirit is trying to use the Word of God to help you. To help you. Not to hurt you. The devil's pretty slick at making you think he's your buddy, your friend. You know, and this guy's just yelling and screaming like a wild man. Who does he think he is? He's nuts. By the way, I can't tell you what it means to preach to a group of people where the men say amen, nod their heads, and show agreement. That it's not that you're showing just agreement with Terry Angel, you're showing agreement with the Word of God. That helps. That helps. I love it. And I know sometimes it's more quiet than this, but that's okay. Don't preach for the amens. That's what the Spirit of God is trying to do. Listen, folks. Jesus Christ should not have to convince us that He's trying to help us. He died on a cross. I'll say it again. He died on a cross. Shed His blood to pay for our sin. He didn't do that to hurt us. In fact, the thief and those around him told him, if you are who you say you are, come off the cross and save thyself. He didn't come to save Himself. He came to save us. And He had to die to do it. That's why He stayed there. That's why He stayed all the way to the end. In fact, don't you love that old song? He didn't come down. Oh, no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But He stayed on the cross. And He didn't come down. He did that to help us. Jesus is in the business of helping people. Can I get personal this morning? Jesus is in the business of helping you. He's in the business of helping you. Yes, He died. Yes, He was buried. He visited the domain of the devil. Death is the devil's domain. He visited there. Can you imagine a conversation between Lucifer, Satan, and Jesus? Well, I got you. No, Lucifer, you didn't get me. Nobody took my life. I gave it. Well, I got you now. No. I'm not, I'm just visiting. I'm not here to stay. Well, I'll keep you here. Try it. You going to leave now? No, I can't leave now. Are you going to leave tomorrow? No, I can't leave tomorrow. When are you leaving? Third day. Why are you waiting to the third day? Scripture says. Well, I could run this morning, man. I tell you, on that third day. This is not some poppycock. This is it's more real than anything in this world is real. He did all that, folks, to help. He did that to help. And through the power of His death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus has authority and power over all unclean spirits, over death itself, over sin, over the grave, over the devil. And He has the power to connect you to the love of God, a love that you can never be separated from. Man. And Satan knows the power of that message. And he knows the power of this book. And so he sends all kind of unclean spirits out. Oh, I don't believe in unclean spirits. Well, then don't turn on your light switch. Why don't you believe in unclean spirits? Well, I can't see them. You can't see electricity either. You see the results of it. Get in the right place, you can feel it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. I believe with all my heart the unclean spirits are flying all around in the air, and they're out there to influence saved people when the preaching of God's Word goes forth. Leave me alone. Whose business is it of yours? Why are you after me? I know what's right. All Jesus wants to do is help you. Help you. Help you. Wow, the influence of an unclean spirit. At Faith Baptist Church. Yep. At Faith Baptist Church. When the preaching goes forth, the Word of God starts piercing and cutting the heart and the soul. Just look to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want to help me today? How do you want to help me today? And if you've never been saved, and I know that's a religious term. Everybody's heard it. Let me put it this way. If you don't know that you're born again, Jesus died to help you. Help you. And the way He begins helping you is by becoming your Savior. Let Him help you. Let Him help. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for the privilege to preach Your book. Would You please speak to our hearts now? I pray that we might be quiet still. And that God, You'd have our attention for these next few minutes, couple of minutes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would You please give me Your ear just for a moment, even with Your head bowed and Your eyes closed? Would You just give me Your ear? Listen, we'll be done in a couple of minutes here. Have the invitation. I wonder if you're here this morning and say, boy, preacher, pastor, during the message, man, you know, I can identify with having some of those thoughts once in a while. Leave me alone. Whose business is it anyway? Wonder who would be honest this morning would say, Pastor, I realize that is the influence of an unclean spirit. Once in a while I battle with that and I see it for what it is now and want God to help me when the preaching goes forth. Would you please slip your hand up wherever you're sitting across the room this morning? Slip it up. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. I see those hands. Amen. Jesus wants to help you. Let Him help you. There might be some sitting in the crowd this morning. You don't know for sure that you're saved. You don't know where you're going when you die. You don't know what's after death. Where am I going? Where will I spend eternity? Jesus wants to help you. You say, Pastor, that's me. I just don't know. I don't know. I'll be honest before God. I don't know. Would you just slip your hand in the air so I could pray for you? I'm not going to call you out, come to you. Just slip your hand in the air. Pray for me when you close, Pastor. Just say a prayer for me. You just slip your hand in the air. Let me do that this morning. You're not sure that you're saved. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, maybe turn to the person next to you. If you're sitting with somebody and say, look, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. I know it's a little strange, especially if you're first time to a church. But the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. It's just Jesus wanting to help you. That's all it is. If you're not sure that you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you this morning how you can know for sure heaven is your home. You could turn to the person next to you just a minute and say, look, I don't know if I'm saved. If you know that you're saved, then let Jesus help you with the preaching of His Word. If you've been saved but not baptized, you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's a great time to do it. You come and help. We'll help you with that. Let's pray together. Father, I ask this morning that your spirit might work in our hearts, the Spirit of God, as opposed to the unclean spirit, that the Spirit of God might move on us. And Lord, cut us if necessary and make us uneasy and then show us how we can be helped. And bless these, Lord, I pray. Raise the hand this morning. We've all come under the influence of that unclean spirit once in a while. We all get crossed up with an attitude problem. It's part of being human. Help us to identify it and know that you want to help us. And I pray for anybody here this morning who's not saved, I pray that the battle will be won in their heart today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it happen, I pray, dear Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to play a song of invitation. If you'd like to come and kneel here just before you raised your hand this morning, now's the time to do it. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you step out right now? We have men that can show men how to be saved. We have ladies that can show ladies. Why don't you come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You know it for sure. Positive, certain, for a Bible reason that heaven is your home. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some have come to pray. Would you come this morning? Let us help you. Let the Spirit of God help you. Let the Word of God help you. While we wait today. Maybe you feel uncomfortable coming forward in a strange place. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them, say, I don't know that I'm saved. I really don't. They'll help you this morning. They'll help you. It's got to come from you. It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your desire.